We've been talking about discipleship, kind of as a theme for the summer, but it's not just a theme for the summer, it's a theme for the church and forever, you know, and it's a theme for the body of Christ. And so our foundation verse is found in Matthew 28. So let's turn there. No, really, Team Good News is amazing. The people here and what they do, all the different parts, and they do things I couldn't do, could never do. Do it well, and but I appreciate everybody that serves and what you do here. You do a wonderful job. Matthew 28, verse 18. What do we call this? What's the Great Commission? Everybody say Great Commission.
Great Commission.
Turn to your neighbor and say Great Commission.
Great Commission.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The word nations is all people groups, every tribe, every person, every language. And that's not an option. And I hope for us that it is the Great Commission and not the Great Omission. And that's what it is for a lot of people in the body of Christ. They have no clue that it's their job to make disciples. They look at the pastor or the evangelist or the traveling minister. That's their job, but my job is, you know, just to live my life and just have a good life, live an abundant life. But this Great Commission is for every disciple. And that's what we're talking about during this series, is that every one of us are disciples. If we're believers, now not all believers who believe in Jesus Christ are disciples. But we want here at Good News Church all believers to be disciples. And that word disciple, I mean, there's a lot of different definitions we've been using, but it's basically someone that thinks, speaks, and acts like Jesus. That's what we want here. That's what we're trying to raise up. And the way we say that is we're empowering people to give life, to be life givers. We are so blessed. We have so much. You know, and you know, we hear that and it almost doesn't mean anything, but it's really true. And we're to give what we have. Freely we have received, freely we give. So we're to give to others. But in the process, we're to help work with God to make disciples, meaning the things that we've been taught, the things that we've learned, we need to impart those things to people in our sphere of influence and to be intentional about it. And there may be just a few. Jesus had, you know, 12 main disciples, but three that were really close to him. So that's a good number, at least three. Certainly parents are discipling their kids. We're making disciples of our families. I mean, that's biblical. But to impart what we've learned, and don't put it off on the next guy. Everybody, that's what we're hoping during this series, everybody will take ownership of the Great Commission, take ownership of making disciples, and each of us will do our part, starting with where you're at. Now, we all know that we've been taught here at Good News Church about who you are in Christ. We've been taught our identity in Jesus. And there is over 100 promises in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, that promise us who we are, what we have, what we can do, our authority, our inheritance, all these different things. And part of that inheritance is that we are sons and daughters of God. Does everybody know that? In the Old Testament, they were servants. That was their role, basically. They were servants. But in the New Testament, under Jesus, he's our model. He's the Son of God. So we follow in his pattern. So we're sons and daughters. And so we're people that come to the table. We're in the house, you know, reaping the benefits of being in God's family. We're not on the outside looking in on other people partaking. We're the ones at the table. And that's one of the things we've been teaching and learning here about going to the table and being able to receive your inheritance. But there's something interesting about Jesus, and I'm going to jump to Philippians, that scripture in Philippians, about Jesus, our example, that he did, that we need to follow. Philippians 2, verse 1, and I'm going to read from the Message Bible. It says this: if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, and I would say these scriptures here are part of our foundational verses here at Good News Church. I really, really strongly identify with this for this ministry here. If you've got anything at all out of following Christ, so he's talking to disciples here. if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. I really like that. We teach a lot about fellowship, but I like that. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. And we've said all along, when you come here, you know, the Good News Church, it's not about you. It's not about you getting what you want. Good News Church is about others. It's about other people. It's about serving other people and giving people a helping hand. And yes, you're going to receive. Yes, you're going to be fed. I hope the best diet possible for believers. We want to feed you a rich, healthy diet. But it's all for a purpose, to do something with what we've been given. Think of yourselves, verse 5, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And this is what I want to get to here. For he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Isn't that something? He laid it all aside and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of a death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, would bow and worship before this Jesus Christ. So he's our example, right? He's, you know, Ephesians 5 says we're to imitate, you know, our Father. Imitate him. And we're to imitate Jesus, his Son. And to follow after him. And he's our example. And so he willingly chose, and who does this? He willingly chose to lay aside all the glory and the riches and the splendor and the awesomeness of heaven. I mean, words can't even describe heaven. We really can't adequately describe it. He laid all of that aside to come to earth to be a human. And then not only that, he didn't live for himself. He lived for God. He lived for God's will, and which led to the cross. And the scripture talks about when he was whipped, that he turned his back. How do you do that? Your body just, you know, pain. No one runs to pain unless you're sick, you know. But no one does that. But it says he turned his back. And then the Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. And so he did all this, and so he became a slave, a servant for us. And that's our example. Now, and throughout the New Testament, they refer to Jesus. Interesting how they refer to him. They say, your holy servant, Jesus. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he's the Son, he's the Master, he's the Messiah, he's all these different titles, but they refer to him as your holy servant, Jesus. So there's an example of being a servant that Jesus, you know, portrayed for us. And he chose to do that, willing to do that. This word slave, or in the New King James says bondservant, is the word doulos. And this means, in the Greek, it means a slave who has permanent relation of servitude to another. Jesus chose to willingly be the servant of God. Now, he's his Son, but he chose to serve God. And this person, this bondservant, will altogether be consumed in the will of another person. Now, this slave can be voluntarily or involuntarily. And the enemy works through putting people in bondage. But there was, in Roman times, there were slaves that worked for a master that they, when they were freed, they loved their master so much they stayed and served and willingly chose to serve. And that's what we're talking about here. Jesus chose to serve. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad today? And that's the pattern that we're to follow. And we're to choose. We are so, and you know, it's you know, we say that we are so blessed, and I don't know if you've been out of the country, but to go to other places, and I don't look down upon anybody. Whenever I go anywhere, I don't care who it is, I learn just as much from them as they learn from me. I'm going there to teach and preach and all these different things, but I learn so much from other cultures. And so, our culture in the West, I'm not saying it's better. But we'll just say in the financial area, we are so blessed. Where in other parts of the world, the average income, this is real, and this is where most people live, the average income is $200 a month. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with $200 a month? What kind of life is that going to give for you and for your family? And I'm talking about, you know, if you have 5, 6 kids. So, you know, we get so caught up in the rat race here because our marketers, can I just rant a little bit on Team Good News Day? Because our marketers, they do a great job of what they do to make you feel lack, to make you feel like you're not satisfied, that you don't have a big enough TV and enough furniture and a big enough house and enough cars and all, you know, my car's got a scratch on it, so it's no good anymore. You know, all these different things. And they've done a fantastic job of influencing us. And so we feel so much lack in the most blessed, financially now, place in the earth, and really in all of history. So we have so much, but yet we live in a society that we hoard. You know, 10% here at Good News Church, 10% of the people here do 90% of the giving. Isn't that something? 10% do 90% of the giving. And you know, the tithing rate in the body of Christ is around 2-3%. And yet we're wanting all these services, all these different things, because we live in a society. Give me more. I want more. I want more of my fast food. I want the supersize at the fast food. I want this kind of service at the department store and restaurant. I mean, I get mad that they get a little thing wrong. I'm paying for this. And that's the mentality. But see, that's not Jesus. And this is a guy that laid everything on the line so that we could live. And he's the pattern. He's the model. He's our example. And you got to watch this. Watch out for this. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy. And this is really... we'll describe the culture that we live in, what I'm about to read here. And it's really becoming apparent during this presidential election. Do you think this presidential election is about Republicans and Democrats or independents serving the people of the United States?
No.
Is it about serving us so that we have the best and are even a better country, so that we can be even a greater blessing to the world? Is that what this is all about? That's where, you know, $2 billion, $3 billion spent by each party, more than that, all the things that they do. Is it about the self-interest of the United States? Am I being a downer today?
No.
2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. That means we're going to be sitting at the restaurant and no one's going to be talking to each other because we're looking at our phones. Those that were checking their phone kind of looked up for a moment. Self-absorbed, money-hungry. That doesn't sound good. Self-promoting, stuck up. Who wants to be stuck up? Profane, contemptuous appearance, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. That's what I want on my tombstone. He was a bloated windbag. Addicted to lust. I can't even stop there. Allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Meaning, stay clear of them as far as being your best friends, hanging out together, but it doesn't mean we don't reach them and try to reach them with the gospel, with love. You know, the word ministry, anybody here, I mean, don't raise your hand, but anybody here want to be in full-time ministry? You want to be in full-time ministry? Well, do you know what the word minister means? The word minister means chief servant. So if you want to be in the ministry, because it is so glamorous up here under the lights. I mean, it's amazing to be able to hear and teach people, and I'm on live streaming, get my picture on things. Oh, man, it is so glamorous. But, you know, this is so little of what we do. And as a minister, if you want to be a full-time minister, you need to be the chief servant to serve people. And so many people, they get in the ministry for the wrong reasons. They want it to be about them and what they can get and how they look, what kind of benefits, and look at me, how great I am. I tell you, with my family, I want to raise kids, and I want the Judd family to be a family that's known for service, that's known for giving back, that it's not about them, that it's about others, and it's about serving people. And I want this church to be that way. And we got to fight it because we are so blessed. We know so much. You guys have had so much put into you. You know, and I can't speak for other churches, but I know you get steak. However you like it, medium rare, medium well. I mean, you get steak, potatoes, green beans. You get the best sweet tea. I don't know what kind of desserts, red velvet, Italian cream cake. I mean, what are the kind of desserts? I mean, cheesecake. Oh, man, I love cheesecake. Cream brulee. Yeah. All right, let's get back in the spirit now. There's a great passage on serving in the Gospel of Mark. And this is where James and John are asking Jesus, you know, can they sit on the right hand or the left hand of him in glory? So they're wanting position, okay? They want to be in the primo position. All right, let's pick up the story in Mark 10, verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You want to be great in God's kingdom? He's contrasting the two kingdoms here, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, what John and James did, it aroused a lot of anger and resentment and hostility among the other ten. And it brought about the old controversy among them, who was the greatest. So Jesus, realizing, I mean, we can have a schism here. We can have problems with the fellowship of these disciples, so I'm going to have to do something. So then he addresses, and he always does that by teaching and explaining things. So he brings them all together. And then he starts to talk about the different standards. Kingdom of the world, kingdom of God. In the kingdom of the world, the standard is power. How many people do you control? How great is the army of servants that serve at your beck and call? How many can you impose your will upon? And this is the way, this is the mentality and way many people think. This is in the world system. When I'm in charge, I can do what I like, when I want to, and to whomever I choose. See, that's not God's system. That's the world. That's about control, manipulation, domination, putting people in their place. Look at me. Look at my position. In the kingdom of God, the standard is service. Greatness consists not in reducing other men to one service, but in God's standard, God's system, what service can I give today? Who can I serve today? All right, now this is really good. This is for the young people, okay? This is really good because this is prevalent. Not for you, though. You don't have to listen. It's not for you.
No,
you do. I'm kidding.
Oh, yay.
All right. Look. I like that. One to hear here. Listen to this. The basic problem we deal with today is we want to do as little as possible and expect to get as much as possible. Amen. Yeah. That means we want to do just a little bit or a little as possible and have big rewards. Isn't that kind of the mentality? And I hate to say it, none of these young people, but among the young people especially. And the reason being is we want to give our kids better than what we had, right?
Right.
That's the American dream. And the problem with it is it's caused this entitlement, thinking that I'm going to get all these things for doing nothing just because I'm here. And we are certainly blessed and entitled to privileges and inheritance because we're in the family of God. But it's not about us. It's not about us looking good. Are you just ready to go get some food? You ready to get out of here? Pastor, please stop. You're making me uncomfortable. It is only when you desire to put more into life than you take out that you'll truly be content and prosperous. I love this in Galatians 5. Verse 13, Amplified, says this, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. And do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness, but through love you should serve one another." I like that. Through love you should serve one another. In Israel, there are two different seas there that are I want to talk about just for a minute. And both are fed by the River Jordan. And one of the seas, it's just fed. The water coming from the Jordan is clean and pure and crystal clear. And it's coming in to this one sea. And in there are fish galore. There's trees going up around there. It's green. It's plush. The kids are playing in there. It is beautiful. Homes are being built all around it. Beautiful place. There's another sea in Israel that's the opposite. There's no fish. If there was a fish, it'd be floating. It'd be dead. No trees around it. No houses built. No boats out there on the water. It's being fed by the River Jordan as well. Clean, crisp water. But nothing, no life there. One's called the Sea of Galilee, and fittingly, the other's called the Dead Sea. What's the difference between the two of them? The Sea of Galilee, the water comes in, and just as much water comes in, goes out. But in the Dead Sea, all the water comes in and doesn't go out. It just stays. It stagnates. So there's two kinds of people. And let's just say the River of Jordan refers to the blessings of God. God's goodness flowing into our lives. And if we withhold it, if we keep it to ourselves, and we don't share, and we don't give, and we don't serve, and it's all about me, and it's about me looking good. And these are the same kind of people, they get offended at everything. Everything they get offended at. But see, if it doesn't flow, you become dead. But then there's the other one where, man, the blessings of God are flowing in. They're flowing in. But they get it. They get the Great Commission. They get what it means to be a disciple. And their lives are about letting it flow out to others. And see, you're not going to outgive God. The more that you give out, the more that's going to flow in. And it's just giving and receiving. What does he say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. So which kind of sea are you today? Sea of Galilee? Dead Sea? I hope it's flowing. I want you to make this decision as we're wrapping it up here. I am finishing up early. I'm going to pat myself on the back. It's not about me. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Isn't it great, these people I have around me? I'm not finishing up too early that they're not ready back there. Are they ready? Does anybody know? Do I need to do a little song and dance? You don't want that, but anyway. I want to read this last verse, and I want you to just think about these words, and I want you to make the, hopefully, come to the same conclusion that the Apostle Paul came to. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, Message, says this: even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, that's pretty awesome, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and to all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet to a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. And I just pray right now, and it's so easy. And if you've gotten off, I don't blame you. Over my 20 years of pastoring, I've gotten off. I've had wrong attitudes. I've had a wrong mindset. The book that I'm going to write, my first book is going to be called The Monster Pastor. You may still think I'm a monster, but I'm not as much a monster as I was years ago. Changed. God's changed me. But because of the culture and because of the people that I ran with and influenced me, I saw ministry as a celebrity thing about me. I got the $1,000 suits. I got all the different things, all the different trappings that go with that. And because it became about me. It became about people serving me. And sometimes there's just a fine line. But I've made some adjustments, and God has dealt with me, and that's not who I want to be. is that if I want to be great in the kingdom of God, I'm going to have to serve others. And not because I have to, because I want to, because I want to be like my Father, and I want to do His will, and I want to please Him. And I am a son. I know I'm a son. And I know my rights and privileges. I know my inheritance. But I choose to serve. I choose to do that. Every day I wake up, I choose to serve and to be a blessing and to be an encourager, to help people. And if you've gotten off, I mean, I understand, I've been there. But today, let's get back on track. Let's make some decisions in our heart. And go say, hey, Lord, I'm going to make some adjustments here. So let's just take a moment in prayer here right now. I'll say some things, but you talk to God. And I hope no one here has been condemned, because that's not what we do. There's no condemnation in Christ. We're not about making people feel bad and about shaming you into change. That's not what we're talking about here. But if there's conviction from the Holy Spirit, if He's revealed and showed you some things where maybe you've gotten off track, then just repent. Doesn't mean you have to come down to the altar and cry, but repent means to change your mind, turn around and go the other way. And so if you need to do that today, go ahead and do that. Talk to Him. Speak to Him. Renew your commitment to Him and to a life of service. Renew your commitment to His doing His will. Don't be trying to do your own thing, going your own way. That's not going to work. That's going nowhere. You've tried that before. You've done that before. It just doesn't work. Follow Him. He's got a great plan for you. Taking you places. It's an adventure in Christ.